Let's turn to God's word together. Matthew chapter 6, we continue our series through the Sermon on the Mount. I'm just going to read these very famous words. I'll read from verse 7. Jesus is talking about prayer, Matthew 6 verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we are making our way through the Lord's Prayer, and we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer. That's where we've come to today. Give us today our daily bread. Now, my mother had strong views about cooking. If a meal did not have potatoes in some form or other, well, it was doubtful whether it was actually a meal. It was certainly not a full main meal without potatoes. Now, if you ask my wife, Kate, she might say the same thing, along with many people, Asians, she might say the same thing about rice. And she does very graciously provide potatoes for us from time to time, which is kind of her. A housemate of mine at university, who I think came from, he came from Walsall. I don't know if that is significant. Some people will be able to tell me this afterwards. But whatever we served up for a meal, he would not be happy until he had a nice slice of bread nestling alongside his plate. Now, each one would regard their particular favourite as their staple, as a necessity. They could not consider a meal without it. However, we are aware, aren't we, as we consider this subject, that for some people, such staples would not be something they have alongside something else. This is all they have to eat. That is a stark reminder to us that we don't all enjoy the same levels of plenty. But in Jesus' day and society, bread was the common staple. So he's praying for our daily bread here, our daily staple. But as he does so, of course, as he guides us to pray in this way, his wise words encapsulate so much more than simply what we eat. The first thing we see from just these few words, we see that when we pray this, we remind ourselves of our dependency on God. You know, when we pray, give us today, or give us this day, our daily bread, we're acknowledging that everything we have to sustain our lives comes from him, comes from God, one way or another. It may have come from the supermarket, we may have made it ourselves, but the resources to make those things, it all comes from God. We can't get away from that. You remember that story we have sometimes at Harvest about Eric, who has his toast in the morning, and then he goes to his mum and says, who should I thank for the toast? And his mum says, sends him to the baker, and the baker sends him to the farmer, and the farmer sends him to God. I think I've missed out a few steps there, but you know the point. It all comes back to God. Good old Eric reminds us of that. And so does this prayer. Our very lives come from him. Every breath we take, and this is the irony, isn't it, of the atheist who denies that there is a God. They deny there is a God with the very breath that is given to them by God to do so. Their minds that are organized to shut God out have been given to them by God himself. And of course, the land from which our crops grow, the animals, the sun whose heat and light are vital, and the rain, everything is made by him and made so well. And I just love it, as many of you do, just to go out off on my days off, just to wander in the countryside and just to bathe in the beauty of his creation one way or another. And This is a wheat a barley field I walked through up just north of Lambourne the other week. Very nice. Beautiful. Beautiful. And this is God's provision. This is why it is such good practice to say what we often say. We say grace before a meal. We give thanks before a meal. And it is a good habit to get into, to acknowledge where that meal comes from. Now, I know there are issues. What constitutes a meal? When should I? You know, there are all these questions that emerge when you've got a family, isn't it? Do I say thank you to God for everything that I eat at every point? Well, why not, you might say. But these questions emerge with your children when you're establishing this habit. It can become a habit, of course. It can become just something to be rushed out and got out of the way before we fall on our food. But as we give thanks to God, as we give thanks for our food, we think of all that he has given us, not just our food. All he's given us to sustain and bless our lives. And praying these seven words help us not to forget that. So I missed Genesis there. The Lord said to Noah after the flood, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. This is his provision for us. And praying these seven words help us not to forget this. Praying this helps us to walk in humble dependence on him. You know, even Jesus walked in humble dependence on his Father. He was the eternal Son of God. He was the Lord God in his own right, as we've sung today. But he walked in humble dependence on his Father. He recognized that he could do nothing without his Father. And he recognized that he was dependent on his Father. And that's a good lesson. We have to follow Jesus. That was true of him. It's even more true of us. This dependent was so clearly expressed in Jesus' prayer life. When he so often he had that habit of withdrawing to lonely places to pray. How do I know whether you are dependent on God or whether you feel your dependence on God or not? By your prayer life. That's how it comes out. That's the truth. If you don't realize your dependence on him, you won't be praying much. And vice versa. The Lord loves us to express our dependence on him. And our prayer lives are our greatest measure of how much we do that. Is this our regular habit? Or is it something we do only when we need to? Only when we feel desperate? Only when there's some huge gap that we're missing? Our dependence on God for all we need. Give us today our daily bread. It's a prayer for bread. It's not a prayer for fine meat. It's not a prayer for caviar. It's a prayer for bread, our basic requirement. The things that are necessary for preserving our life. Now, here's the truth. For me, certainly, and for many of you, well, for all of us, God has blessed us far more in excess of that base level of what we actually just need. Hasn't he done that? He's blessed us. He's poured his goodness into our lives in all kinds of ways. He's lavished his riches on us, both spiritually and materially. For many of us, that's true. We see that. There are places, of course, as Roy's prayer reminds us today, where even bread is in short supply, and Judas' prayer and so on. But we are blessed with much more than bread. And I say that we should be mindful of those other places where that's not the case. That should be a painful reminder to us. But as we do that, you know, it's not wrong to enjoy fine food. If the Lord gives you fine meat, if the Lord gives you caviar, enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's not wrong to enjoy the good food. God has created it all. And God gets delight when we enjoy good gifts. I've shared this before. But, you know, God, from the earliest moment in time, before time began, in eternity, God knew about cake. He did. But it took us a while. I don't know. Historians will be able to tell me when cake was invented or discovered. Who on earth thought of whatever it is that you have to do to make cake? But cake suddenly emerged, and suddenly we said, wow. But all the time, God was thinking, I can't wait till they discover cake. They're going to love it. He loves it. When we take delight in his good things, he loves it. And that's true of all those things, isn't it? It's not wrong to enjoy the finer things. It's not wrong to go to the nice restaurants. It's not wrong, dare I say, even to shop at Waitrose. And here's the thing. As long as you do not start taking that for granted, that's the truth. And that's a rather different challenge. As long as you don't start assuming it as your right, as long as we are aware that others cannot afford this, as long as we are mindful of that and responsive to that with generous hearts, and praying for our daily bread reminds us of this, that there are others in far more need. There are others who are not sure whether their daily bread is going to come or not. They're far more need than we are. And praying this helps to check our sense of entitlement that creeps up on us, so that we can't bear to think of shopping in the other places, perhaps, or whatever. Prayer helps us to guard against thinking that we couldn't possibly survive on anything less than the finer brands. It reminds us, and you know, this is still true of most of us in the country, even as we feel the pinch with the cost of living rising, it reminds us that compared to most people in the world, we are rich beyond imagining. And we should be ready to share our wealth with others whose need is greater. It's not true of everyone here, everyone in our society. Some people are really, really struggling. But for most of us, that is true. And praying daily for our daily bread helps us, is a check against developing unhealthy attitudes and expectations. I think it does that. It's a good thing to do, as Jesus knew well. Notice we pray this, it reminds ourselves of our dependence on God for all we need from day to day. Give us today, or this day, our daily bread. Now we have to take a step back and mind the gap at this point, mind the cultural gap between where we are and where Jesus was speaking. Jesus was speaking in the first century land of Israel, which was an agrarian society, and there people would work on a daily basis. Most people would work on the land in some way, and they would work on a daily basis. They would not necessarily be sure whether they were going to get work for that day or not. They were hired by the day. Imagine that. Some of you will be on 0 hours contract, and you might know how that feels. But that's how it was. That was how the economy was based. And pay, the level of pay was such that you couldn't guarantee at all that after a day's work you would have anything to save for the next day. So you were literally going from, if you were a peasant in that sense, you were literally going from day to day, the workers of the land. They were going from day to day, not sure if they would have enough for each day. Every morning it would be a genuine concern. Are we going to have enough? Now there may well be people for whom that is true in our society and in our neighborhood, and we should be aware of that. For many of us, though, with our jobs, we're paid on a monthly basis. And that distances us somewhat, and sometimes we're able to build up a little layer of comfort in our bank accounts, a little layer of reserve. It distances us from this immediacy, the immediacy of this prayer. However, this immediacy is something that we should take on board. It is good for us to remind ourselves of. It reminds me of those Israelites in the desert with Moses. Remember them? They moaned and complained. No sooner had they got out of Egypt, they were moaning and complaining. The Lord sent them bread from heaven, manna, in the mornings, and quail in the evenings. And remember, they were told, they were given very specific instructions with this. They were specifically told to collect just enough for each day. And when some people didn't do that and they went and collected more, they'd find out when they wake up the next day, the bit they'd hoarded was full of maggots. And they didn't think, wow, extra protein, that was horrible. And so they had this. They learned this daily relationship. And the only time when that was different was on the Sabbath Eve, when they were told to collect enough for the following day too, the Sabbath. They wouldn't have to work doing the collection on the Sabbath. And then, amazingly, the food didn't get maggots in that day. And there was enough. And that's the way it worked. Amazing. They were learning. To trust the Lord to provide day by day, not to look further ahead. That is a hard lesson for us, but it's a lesson we should learn as well. To not look further ahead, to not try and hoard. God knew that if they could hoard manna, they would develop a spirit of self-reliance rather than dependence. And we do the same. We do the same. Many of us with healthy bank balances somehow forget that it's all come from God. When it's in my bank balance, it's my money. Thanks very much, and I'll do with it what I like. We can quickly develop an attitude that we've provided for ourselves and forget about God, who's given us the wherewithal to earn that money. Yes, we may have worked hard for it, and that's good to work hard for our keep, isn't it? But the opportunity to work and the ability to work and the energy to work, that all comes from God. He's provided. And of course, the trouble with that is that no matter how much we hoard, it's never enough. It's never enough. We always want a little more. Ask a millionaire, ask a billionaire. Why are these billionaires still grabbing for all they can with their horrendous business practices? Because there's never enough. And so, we always want a little more, and we're less likely, actually, to give to those in need. This is the reality. And survey after survey has shown this to be true. When it comes to proportion of income, so not actual amount, but proportion of income, those with more give less. Survey after survey shows that to be true. It's staggering. It's true. And so praying this prayer helps us to not look too far ahead. Jesus is going to expand on this very shortly in the sermon. Charlie read this, didn't he? Or he read some of this at least. This is what Jesus says later on in this chapter. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The point about the pagans is they don't know they have a heavenly Father, so of course they worry. Why wouldn't they? They should be worried if they don't have a heavenly Father. But we have a heavenly Father looking after us. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Sounds like Jesus is switching into Eeyore mode there, doesn't it, a bit? But, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Just worry about today. Worry about what's on your plate or what's not on your plate right now. Let God sort out the rest. Good lesson to learn. Praying this daily, give us today our daily bread, increases our daily dependence on the Lord, and it helps us to be more generous because we let him worry about tomorrow. We can find ourselves self-consciously planning ahead in a way that militates against us giving our money away. Have you seen this in yourself? I've seen it in myself. If I look at my bank account and I think, I've got this coming up and I need to make sure about that, and I have enough for this event and that holiday and that home improvement in several months' time. So, you know, really, I can't really afford. If we do that, I'm never going to have anything spare to give away. I'm just not. Because I'm always going to think of something I need it for. Just as if you say, well, you know, I'll wait. And some people take this attitude with their giving, their tithing. I'll wait until I see what I've got left at the end of the month before I give anything, any money away. You know, the reality is, if you take that approach, you will never have what you perceive to be enough at the end of the month. You'll get to the end of the month and think, well, I don't really have anything to give. We have to plan our giving at the beginning of the month and get into the habit of that. And then we learn. Many of us learned this during our building project, which astonishingly we've been in this new building for 15 years now. Isn't that astonishing? But do you remember those days in the early 2000s when we thought we'd never get there? It was an astonishing time. It was a time of great learning for us as a church about faith and trusting in the Lord. I think personally that's certainly my case. For those of you who were around, you may remember that as a leadership at the time, we didn't encourage members so much to say, well, okay, over the next 3 years, I'll be able to give X amount a month to the building project. We didn't encourage you to do that. Some did that. We didn't encourage you to do that. Rather, we said, look, we've got this gift day coming up in a couple of months' time. Give all you can give on that day. Do not worry about the next gift day that's coming around in a few months' time. Don't plan for that. Just plan for this one. And what we found, those of us who did that, often we'd say, well, Lord, okay, here you are. I'll give all this. Now, goodness, that pretty much cleans me out. Goodness knows, there's not going to be anything left for the next gift day. But, you know, there we go. And what we found when we did that is that come the next gift day, do you know what had happened? Surprise, surprise. God had given us more to give back. And he did that again and again and again. And here's the thing. After a while, because we were drifting along, wondering when we'd get to the point where, if you remember this, we were wondering when would we have enough to engage contractors to start building? Because we had nowhere near enough. And so we said, okay, well, we'll double the frequency of our gift days. And so what we found is that we doubled the frequency of the gift days, and yet from gift day to gift day, people were still able to give what they had before. So the gift days were doubled, but the amount being given on each gift day wasn't going down. Because in between, the Lord was providing us with money to give. It was astonishing. Certainly we saw that as a family, and I know many others did. And so consequently, many of us, over the course of however many years that was, if we'd have sat down and predicted how much we could have given over that time, we would have underestimated, not just by a few, massively. We would have underestimated massively what we thought we could give. But doing it this way, actually, we could give far more than we ever thought possible. And of course, we sang that song a lot, didn't we? He giveth more grace, which is just such a wonderful reminder of that. And that's the way it worked. That was God's economy. I don't know how it works, and there are people who work in the finance industry. I challenge them to tell me how it works. I don't know, but it does. He's not tied into our budgetary constraints like we are. It's astonishing. Trust him for the day. Let him worry about the next day. As I get older, I naturally find myself, you know, perhaps accumulating a bit more than I used to back in the old days, actually. And I forget about that lesson. I have to remind myself of that lesson. I have to remind myself it is a good lesson to learn. It's not a comfortable place to be, but it's a good lesson to learn. Maybe that's the point, because when we're comfortable, we rely on self. When we're not comfortable, we're driven to the Lord. Independence, but again and again. And one more thing to note about the wording of this prayer. Have you noticed? It's us, not me. Give us this day our daily bread. We live in a very individualistic society, and never more so than when it comes to wealth and money and personal possessions. We're very marked in what's mine. And we don't mind lending it, but it's mine. And thanks very much. Just remember that. But the way Jesus phrases this line just forces me to look beyond me, to us. It encourages me just to consider not just my needs, but yours as well. Give us my daily bread. And him, and her, and him. Their daily bread too. And if I'm doing that, I am more likely to be used by the Lord to be an answer to those concerns that I'm praying about. Jesus' disciples, Jesus' followers, understood this from the very early days, following Pentecost, didn't they? This is amazing. Roy was praying for revival, for pouring out of the outpouring of the Spirit. I don't know what we envisage would happen when the Spirit comes in a more powerful way. But what happened when the Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, amongst other things, is that they were incredibly generous with their possessions. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. And again in Acts 4, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. It's astonishing. It's a mark of the Spirit coming. They looked after people in need. And we're called to do the same. It should be a mark of the Spirit in us. Now you can do this in all kinds of ways. Charlie mentioned some of the organizations, the agencies in Reading that help to reach out to those in need. Ready Food, Faith and Ready Food and New Beginnings. He mentioned CCA, of course, and there are many others. There are loads in Reading. Reading is particularly blessed with people who've had visions for these sorts of provision for those in need. You can do this in the fellowship directly, of course. You can may be aware of someone who's in a particular need. May not be monetary, may be monetary, and you can give to them, absolutely. We do have another way of doing that in the fellowship. We have what's called the Care Fund, and that's something that you can give money to, and it's administered by Mark and one or two others here, Mark who is on the guitar down here. Tamkin, do you think I've forgotten your name, Mark? Oh, if only I could. No, there we go. Yeah, no. Mark administers that. And basically, what happens is that there's a fund there that's not part of the church general fund. But when someone, if you're aware of someone in particular need, you can have a word with Mark and there is some money there. But you can also give to that fund, the Care Fund. If you want more information about how to do that, speak to me or Mark. Even better, speak to Mark. And give us. If I'm praying in the first person plural, give us, then I'm more sensitive to others' need and more ready to respond when the Lord prompts me to give. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, when we're praying this daily, it certainly helps us in times of need. Absolutely, and we might be more prompted to pray it then. This prayer guards our hearts against worry, consuming worry, trusting the Lord to provide as he always has done. And we hit this cost of living crisis, and we're going to have over the summer, we're going to have a series looking at some of the scriptures around this issue of need and so forth. But, we're taken by surprise by this. The Lord isn't scrabbling round wondering how he's going to provide for all his people, which is an astonishing thought, isn't it? It's good to know that. So it helps us in times of need, but even more powerfully, actually, it helps us in times of plenty, as many of us still are, even though we might be feeling the pinch. We are at least comfortable. Most of us can still make astonishing decisions about what we do with our money. Not all, and I appreciate that, and I don't want to be insensitive, but most of us. And praying in this way daily puts us in the right place to be generous. And it also helps us not to develop a self-dependent spirit. It helps us not to take what we have for granted. Paul said powerfully at the end of Philippians chapter 4, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for our daily bread and indeed all the riches that we enjoy. We recognize you are generous, and many of us here enjoy so much. And we thank you for that. And Father, as we pray this, we pray that you'll provide for all of us, particularly those who are wondering where a particular provision will come from. But more than that, Lord, we pray that you will use us to provide for others throughout this world. We sit here in this very affluent part of a very affluent land. And Lord, if we could see perhaps other people's lives alongside ours, well, we would feel a little less comfortable. Lord, we don't have to feel guilty about that, but we do have to respond. And we pray that you will stir us up to respond with generosity. Lord, you do give more grace. And I pray particularly for those whose burden is heavy at the moment, that you will give and give and give again. In Jesus' name, amen.